HarperCollins and Harper Audio present With a Mind to Kill, a James Bond novel by Anthony Horowitz, performed by Rory Kinnear. In You Only Live Twice, James Bond was sent to Japan, where he tracked down Ernst Stavro Blofeld on the island of Kyushu. Following a pitched battle in Blofeld's Garden of Death, Bond received a traumatic head injury, which resulted in amnesia. He spent the next year in a Japanese fishing village. He was reported as missing in action. His obituary was published in the Times. In The Man with the Golden Gun, the 12th and final James Bond novel written by Ian Fleming, Bond returned to London after having fallen into the hands of the KGB. He had been brainwashed and ordered to assassinate M with a cyanide pistol. The attempt failed. Bond was deprogrammed and sent to Jamaica to kill the freelance assassin Pistols Scaramanga. With a Mind to Kill begins 2 weeks after that mission ends. Part 1. London Calling. Chapter 1. Dead Man's Mile. In death, as in life, the Navy leaves nothing to chance. The Royal Navy's Ceremonial and Drill, a drab-looking publication first printed in 1834, devotes no fewer than 11 pages to funerals, with everything from the transport of the body to the firing party to the playing of the last post set down in carefully measured words. So, for example, the coffin will always be carried feet-end foremost. The Union Jack is to be placed over the coffin as though the upper left quadrant is over the left shoulder of the deceased. Funeral honours can be given to any officer or rating in active service at the time of his death, although special dispensations may be made, provided that the burial ground is within reasonable distance and that no public expense is incurred beyond the value of the blank ammunition required. At exactly 11 o'clock on a perfectly English spring day, three cars emerged from the central arch of the sprawling Royal Hospital Haslar in Gosport and cruised gently forward towards the cemetery with its long lines of white gravestones standing to attention, the silent testimony of two world wars. The hospital, built in the 18th century, had once been the largest brick building in Europe. At the time of the Normandy landings, it had operated the country's first blood bank. Over the years, it had seen more than its fair share of death, with so many funeral processions that the road in front of the hospital was known as Dead Man's Mile. The cars were black and brightly polished, glinting in the sun. A Daimler hearse flanked by two limousines. They pulled in at the edge of the cemetery, and the pallbearers, two warrant officers and two senior non-commissioned officers, as set out in paragraph J9513 of Ceremonial and Drill, busied themselves with the coffin which was draped with its correctly placed Union flag. The death of Admiral Sir Miles Messervy, known to some as M, had been announced to a largely uninterested world a few days before. The lack of attention was far from unexpected. Only 40 or 50 people, most of whom were present in the cemetery, would have been able to identify the head of the British Secret Service, and not even they, or very few of them, had ever known his real name or the exact nature of his work. His career had been sketched out in the short obituary which had appeared in the press. Educated at the Nautical College, Pangbourne, and then at HMS Britannia, Dartmouth. Service in the Dardanelles, commander of the battlecruiser HMS Renown, director of naval intelligence, and then the inexorable rise, rear admiral, vice admiral, admiral. Companion of the Order of Bath, and for good measure, Chevalier of the Legion d'Honneur. He had turned down the post of 4th Sea Lord, explaining, as the Times put it, that there were other arenas in which he felt he could be of greater use to his country. The Secret Service was not mentioned in the obituary. Nor was the fact that he had been murdered. It was stated only that he had died suddenly and unexpectedly whilst at the height of his powers. Both the Prime Minister and the First Sea Lord had paid tribute to his long and exemplary career. Neither man had made the journey to Gosport, although they had both sent representatives. A funeral, particularly a military one, has a way of making every participant look much the same, and the crowd of mourners that had gathered in the cemetery were
Sample complete. Ready to continue?